This is a Collider.com audio interview.
The scale of this movie is overwhelming, I think, to the audience. It's just the brilliance of the color, but also the scope of the environment that the story is taking place in. How do you choose to use that as a character, that epic scale?
这个片子里头整个环境非常之大，阿尚也是他自己都变成了一个角色本身，你怎么选了用这么大的一个背景来放这个故事？这是中国最著名的一个舞台剧《雷雨》，根据他改编的。这个舞台剧在中国是个经典，今天还在演，也是学校学习的必修课。
这个主题它就是讲的在封建文化的压迫下人性的悲剧。它写的是一个家族。突然有一天我想到，我说把它改编成一个电影，那我就想着把它放在唐代，因为我觉得是一个宏大的背景底下，一个豪华的一个场景底下，我觉得这个主题会得到更大的加强，它会去强化这种封建文化对人性的压迫。它就会成为一个压力，那么大的环境和那么大的场景，其实就变成一个角色。
So the film actually has its origins with a early modern drama called Thunderstorm, which is set during the 20s and 30s. And this is a very famous work that even dramatic art students in China are required to perform as part of their repertoire. So it's, I mean, almost a household name type of play. Everybody knows the story. And several years ago, I decided I wanted to make a film based on this. But the twist is I wanted to take this modern drama and set it in the Tang Dynasty, which has what you refer to as this kind of massive scale, this opulent, splendid kind of backdrop with which to place the story. And the reason I did that was because the original story is really a critique of feudal society and the way that it twists and oppresses human nature beneath the weight of its tradition. And I thought by taking that theme and placing it in the Tang Dynasty, where you have all of this riches and splendid visual kind of excess and the power and the luxury, all it does is actually add to the oppressive feeling of this story, because it creates this very strong dichotomy between the beauty on the outside and the inner darkness that's going on within this story, within this family.
Where did they shoot it, and did they do a lot of dressing? Or is that, I mean, obviously the interior is a dress, but that, for example, that big circular staircase, is that art department, or is that extent? I'm just, you know, questions like that. Mm-hmm.
这是在哪里拍的？还有都是您自己造的很多道具什么的，还是原来就有的？
在中国的浙江横店这个地方有一个影视基地，他们当地投资的许多改了许多中国古代的建筑，为了拍电影。当然，他们也是个商业的运作。英雄就是在那里拍的，他们盖了秦的宫殿。那他们，我在当时在拍英雄的时候，他们我看到他们正在一大片地在盖这个故宫，一比一的在盖故宫。我说你们盖这干什么？他们说啊，我们准备拍电影啊，给别人拍电影啊。我说谁在这儿拍电影？这么大一片啊！他们说不管，他们就要盖。结果去年就盖好了，去年盖好了，正好我这个电影我准备拍。哎，我说。我一打听有没有人拍，他们说太大了，没人在那儿拍，一直没有人。那我好，那我说我是第一个去拍的，我就去用他的宫殿。所以这个所有的外景就是在那里拍的，那个所有的菊花就是我们花了很多钱，买了很多真菊花，也做了很多假菊花，就是用那个丝绸做的菊花，然后把那个广场全部铺满，这都是真的。然后那个宫殿内部的环境是在北京的摄影棚里面搭的。
So the film was primarily filmed, the exteriors, in Zhejiang province in a place called Hengdian. And that's where we shot Hero. And at the time when we were shooting Hero, they were building a new studio there, an external palace. And it was supposed to be a one-to-one scale of the Forbidden City, a massive palace that they were building. And I remember at the time we were shooting Hero, and I said to one of the guys who worked there, what are you building this for? And he's like, for this movie. And he said, who can use something so large? This is immense. He's like, I don't know anyway, we're just building it. In the end, it turned out it was indeed too immense, because when it was finished 2 years later, nobody had used it, because it was the scale was just too awesome, and nobody knew what to do with such a huge, huge place. And it was about that time that I finished the screenplay for this current film, and I decided, hey, well, maybe we should use it. So that's how we got that location in Hung Dien. And once we had the location, we took it even further. We went and bought tens of thousands of chrysanthemums. And most of them are real chrysanthemums. Some of them are artificial, made from silk. And we covered the entire square in this palace with these chrysanthemums. So it was really a huge effort to do that. And then the interior shots were all shot in the studio in Beijing.
Because this is so grand and it's so beautiful, so creative and everything, I was just wondering, Where does he get his creative fuel from? What sort of things inspire him, or where does his vision come from? If one can even put that into words.
您的灵感，您的想象力来自于什么地方？你像是看其他电影，或者是生活中，或者是阅读小说。
我也不知道从哪儿来。但是我自己对视觉比较敏感。通常都是我在决定要拍这个电影的时候，我会想一想这个电影拍成什么颜色的，它的视觉效果应该是什么风格的。所以像这个电影就是，我们就觉得，这个唐代的这个非常豪华的这个视觉，和他那个女人，她都是以丰满为美，这个在中国都是一个常识，在唐代的时候是很非常开放的。再加上整个我们拍的是一个后宫的氛围，就是没有皇帝去办公的，也没有皇帝跟大臣的这都没有，上班都没有，上朝都没有，都是他的后宫，所以我们就去突出了那样的一种色彩，皇帝的那种奢华，家里边的女人全都是，还有就是太监，大量的太监，所以这种后宫的氛围你就会想，我也看了很多资料，看了大量的资料，古代的书和他的壁画和他的图，也都是根据历史的东西，我们再进行一些加工，但是原则上都是，服装的样子呀，所有的东西啊，都是历史的，这个基本是真实的，因为你要是不像的话，中国人就会批评说这根本就不是唐代的，所以你要做得很像，因为唐代的资料是很多的。还有一个就是这一次拍也是注重了细节，注重了细节。虽然是很大的一个场景，但是我专门去拍很多很多细节，很多特写，很多特写。所以我们就分出一个剧组，就 A 组和 B 组，分出一个 B 组去专门拍那些细节。所以你比如说那个20个晚上拍那个作战，我们就会有 A 组拍大的战争，那个 B 组在旁边就拍了20个晚上的特写。细节，给他们一队士兵，可能是20个人，穿上衣服，他们去拍各种各样的细节，然后就共同营造一个那个视觉效果。
So I'm not sure where maybe my inspiration comes from. It's hard to pinpoint just one place, but I've always had a very strong attachment and sensitivity to these aspects of visuality, especially colors. You see in several of my films, colors are so important.And I think stylistically, these all become a major kind of voice in my cinematic world that you keep seeing recurring over and over again. As for this particular film, I think a lot of inspiration just came from the setting of the Tang Dynasty. And I went and had to read a lot of historical books about the history of the Tang, the history, culture, literature, art. We looked at a lot of Tang paintings.And all of that gave us a great amount of inspiration, especially the fact that we were setting this film not in the public palace. This isn't about emperors sending down etiquettes to generals and such. It's about the inner palace, where the emperor lives with the concubines and a few eunuchs, and it's a very private world. And this is one of the first films that really deals with that private world of the inner palace. And that was incredibly inspiring, getting a chance to deal with this aspect of the imperial life.And one thing that I wanted to make sure was, in the middle of all this splendor, the details never got lost. So we always went to great extent to pay special attention to all the details. And to give you one very clear example, during the big battle sequence that takes place as the palace is being stormed, That was shot over the course of 20 days, or actually 20 nights. We shot from sunset, just before sunset, all the way until dawn the next day, 20 consecutive days. And for the first time in my career, what I actually did was split my crew up into two units, A unit and B unit. A was responsible for taking all the kind of macro shots and getting all of the big battle sequences, mostly long shots. And B, I gave them about 20 soldiers, or these are all extras from the People's Liberation Army, and they were only shooting close-ups and details of chrysanthemums, of swords, of carnage on the ground. And that's how we worked every day for 20 days, with Group A on the macro shots and the other one really taking into account the details. And in the end, we edited them together, and I think that's the kind of balance that we really tried to maintain throughout the film.
What about reuniting with Fung Lee, and how has she changed as an actress over the past 10 years, or has she changed at all? And how have you changed as a filmmaker over the past 10 years?
十几年以来一直没有跟巩俐合作，这次再度合作是什么样的情况？他个人有什么样的变化？你也肯定经历过一些变化，你们两个现在是怎么样的一个合作情况？其实当时写剧本的时候，觉得要在中国找一个能演皇后的女人，我想大概就是她了。 可能觉着没有任何人选可以代替他，所以跟他讲了这个设想以后，他就很高兴，他也觉得他很愿意去挑战。这次跟他再次合作，我就觉着他比原来更成熟。实际上我们双方都没有更大的改变，都是像过去一样很默契。但是我觉得他自己呢，他的演技、他的情感的爆发力更加厉害。 而且他对于整个角色，对于整个剧本，对于所有的方面，他都有很独到的一些见解。他会提出很多很好的建议来供我选择。我觉得这些都是让我觉得，哎，突然觉得比以前成熟多了，而且也非常自信。
So when I decided to cast this film and I thought about the role of the Empress, there was just one person that came to mind. That was Gong Li. I thought she was the perfect choice, and I couldn't think of anyone else I'd rather have play that role. I mean, there was no other choice. She was it. And I was so happy that she's willing to take on this role. And working with her again after all these years, I really feel that she's matured incredibly as an actress, and she has this new emotional reservoir that she's brought to the table this time. She's also willing to explore different aspects of the character that in the past I just hadn't seen. She just really brought a whole new sensibility to this character. At the same time, overall, her approach to filmmaking has changed as well. In the past, she'd basically just play the role, and she didn't raise too many questions. She always did a wonderful job, but it was pretty straightforward. This time, she paid incredible attention to the characterization, not just her own character, but other characters, to the screenplay, to the overall cinematic vision. She gave me advice about dialogue. She was very much more hands-on than she had ever been in the past, and that's just a sign of her maturity and where she is now as an actress. And it was wonderful to work with her this time.
How open are you to those ideas coming from people on your crew or in your cast? Sometimes we hear the directors have a very clear vision and they want it their way, and sometimes we hear the directors are very democratic and ask for ideas. Where does your process fit?
你刚刚提到说巩俐这一次好像也敢提到一些关于剧本啊或者整个电影的一些意见，一般来讲，如果要是演员
就是跟你谈一些剧本啊，或者对话的一些问题，你愿意接受吗？你整个著作是很民族吗？还是你一般已经想好了要什么？你就按照你要什么东西去做。通常我是比较民主的，我从拍第一部电影开始到现在都有这个习惯，我很愿意跟演员来谈整个的电影，我希望他们能提更多的意见，不仅仅是在自己的角色上，我希望他们对于所有的都可以提意见。 如果我认为好的，我都会采纳。不仅是演员、工作人员和其他的助手，我也都欢迎他们提意见。我总觉着每个人的角度不同，他的意见呢，不管正确不正确，我有时候都会想一想。通常如果是一条意见，如果三个人都重复这个意见，我就要考虑了。我通常是。 超过三个人有这个意见，我就要想办法改一下。
嗯，
如果比如三个人都说啊这个不好看，你可能要想一下。如果三个人都说啊这个很好看，那你就会觉得都不错。所以我是通过大家的意见去判断有些东西做的对和不对。
So I think throughout my cinematic career, I've always been a rather democratic director, and I'm very open to actors giving me feedback about their role, their lines, and even more so about other characters. If they tell me some line that another character has in the script isn't quite right, I'm always very open to that. And I enjoy this very collaborative form of filmmaking, having long extended dialogues, not just with actors, but with all of my crew, the cinematographer, with production designer, or the art designer. And I think it's through these different perspectives that we really can make progress and really create something very beautiful. Of course, I don't just accept all of these wholeheartedly. You know, I make my own decisions whether it works for the film, and sometimes I'll have the same conversation with three other people, and if everybody seems to be on the same page, often we'll go with it. But if it's a one lone voice and everyone else seems to think that the film should go in a different direction, you know, I take that into consideration as well. But I do think I'm pretty open to this collaborative type of filmmaking.
There's a quote here about your desire to make a movie about your experiences during the Cultural Revolution. I'm curious as to what are some of those experiences, and can you talk a little bit about the immediate years after Mao, and when you guys were beginning the fifth generation, was there fear, any trepidation about the subjects you might cover, and how difficult was it to test some of those limits?
两个问题，第一个是他的资料当中提到说，你过去说很想拍一些文革题材的电影，尤其是关于你自己的一些经历。那到底是什么样的一个经历？你在文革中有什么故事要讲？另外是文革刚刚结束了以后，你们刚刚踏入电影圈子的时候，是否还有很多东西很担忧，就是不知道这个限制在哪里，因为刚刚从一个比较封闭的时代过来的。
文革实际上这十年对我来说是十六岁到二十六岁。我是三年在农村，七年在工厂，所以实际上接触到许多许多的这个事情。这十年文革，其实在中国是一个灾难，是一个苦难。我觉得在人生的生活中，这一段非常重要。其实这里有许多许多的故事和自己个人的体会。那只是现在这一类的题材还不开放，还不是很容易能拍，所以现在还，我想以后吧，希望以后能有机会。第二个就是那个，文革结束以后，实际上我们上电影学院的时候，实际上那时候是一个很兴奋的一个角度，很开放的一个角度。所以中国在那个时候突然打开了国门，我们那时候受的教育，就是很杂，就是什么东西有进来就看什么。我印象中那时候最典型的就是看外国电影。多少年都没看过外国电影了，就哎呀，有一个机会说是要今天要看一个参考片，听说是路过的，大使馆借来的，说是新的，去年的。哎呀，那就想尽办法要看，还要看在当中做笔记，就是好像就是要去吸收。那个时代是一个这个，我觉得像一个海绵一样的，就刚刚开放吧，就是去拼命的吸收许多许多的东西。是那样的一个学习过程，不完全是课堂上的，书本上。
So the Cultural Revolution was an extremely important era for me. That basically was my childhood from the ages of 16 to 26. And for me, those 10 years had an incredible effect on my life. The first 3 years I spent in the countryside with peasants, the latter 7 years I spent working in a factory. And that was a time where I experienced so many things. I met so many people, and there were so many stories, not just my stories, but stories that came from other people. And I'd love to tell those stories one day. That's something I'm waiting for. Unfortunately, the climate in China right now is such that it's still not completely open to telling these stories, especially about the Cultural Revolution. There's still a kind of taboo about that. So I really hope in the future things will thaw even further and I'll be able to tell a lot of these stories. But for now, I'm just waiting for the right time. As for after the Cultural Revolution, when I first went into the Beijing Film Academy, that was an incredible era. That was during Deng Xiaoping's open door policy. Everything seemed possible, and everything was just a vibrant time with all kinds of foreign literature, movies, just flooding into the country, all kinds of native Chinese things that had been banned. All of a sudden, they were back again. And it was a very exciting intellectual time for us. And I remember how excited I was about seeing so many foreign films that we had never seen before. I remember hearing about a certain foreign film that had just come in, and they were going to be screening it, and I mean, we were just shaking with excitement about the prospect of going in. I remember taking notes while we're watching it and just sucking in everything. I felt like a sponge, just taking in everything around me, and that was really a grand time for us. It was not just a time to learn about cinema, but to learn about life.
Last question.
Many of your films, in fact, I think all of them, include the relationship between men and women as a central element. Do you see that as a political relationship? And is it perhaps a metaphor for politics? Is it a way for you to make statements about society in general by focusing on an individual relationship?
你的很多电影, 甚至有可能所有的电影都是有这个男女方面的关系。 这种关系带着一定的政治色彩吗? 或者可以把男女之间的关系当作一个政治方面的比喻，我倒没有那么想，因为我的大部分电影都是关于女性的悲剧吧，尤其是触及到的是中国的封建文化压迫下的女性悲剧，这次这个新的电影也可以还是这样看，所以呢。 中国的封建文化其实在中国的历史很长嘛，有2000多年，所以实际上它影响很深，直到今天，你还会在很多生活中去感觉到。所以我是喜欢这样的主题，我觉得去描写在封建文化下这个挣扎和反抗的这个女性呢，是一个很有力量的一个主题。
So I'm not quite sure how political those relationships are, really. I think a lot of them are really the tragic tales of women who are oppressed and struggling under the shadow of feudal society. And I think most recent film is another example of that. And it's really that struggle, that resistance against the darker aspects of Chinese feudal society that I'm trying to express.
Thank you. 谢谢。
还是我又不懂外语，所以我还觉得我还是在中国好一点。谢谢您。哎，谢谢。